we go.
We're recording, Keith.
Yeah. Bill, Josh, how are you now?
What's this show?
It's Preferred Talk-Ons.
Okay, you didn't say that, this one.
It's true, you didn't.
I'm good, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. A little tired. A little sore
clearly,
from softball.
You completely forgot to say what the name of our show is.
A little sore from softball last night.
But I am embarrassingly sore
from softball. A little
sore from softball,
too.
Yeah.
Just a little, or?
I'm just a little sore.
You didn't run
that
much,
I also had leg day yesterday, though, so.
Softball day is leg day.
Sure about that?
Yeah. Leg day.
Okay.
Yeah, my.
Well, let me know when that comes in.
Hip flexors are, like, it's weird. As I grow older, I'm not even that old, I find out
you're not old at all.
I'm sore in places I didn't know I had muscles to be physically sore, if that makes sense.
Well, it's because you got out of your previous position. You're no longer in season shape.
That's correct. Yeah, I'm just a desk jockey now.
Just like the rest of us.
But you know what? I don't hate it. No. I also scraped up my leg pretty good, too, so.
Well, from what?
It was good effort, though.
Oh, dive?
I made it, not to brag, I made a diving play.
I didn't get the out,
but I did stop the ball from getting into the outfield. So that's a win within itself for me.
Yeah.
Because if you saw me play actual baseball, my defense sucked. Call me Oklahoma out there.
Nice. I like that.
Thank you.
So how'd you guys do this week?
Well, could we do it? Share our programming note? Before we too far in.
Yeah, sorry, I just jump in. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate that, but, you know, you got to read the label on the pool before you dive in there, Keith, because we're a little too shallow right now.
Okay.
Now that we're in the depths of the season, after 2 weeks, we are going to go to two shows a week. One earlier in the week to do a recap of the previous slate, both our teams, the games in general, Josh's locks of the week, a couple other, you know, just random thoughts we have here and there. That's right. Josh went 4-for-5 on the locks of the week.
Yep.
And I went 5-for-6, not to brag.
You didn't put money on it.
Doesn't matter. And then we'll do a second show later in the week previewing this upcoming week.
Yeah.
So
this week's a little funky just because we had some
scheduling hiccups here and there.
Things we had to work out. But it should be thinking more like of a Tuesday, Thursday split, maybe.
Well, Tuesdays are softball day, so.
Probably. Well. I mean,
well, if we got a late game, we can get a show in before that.
That's true. That's perfect.
Yeah. So, hopefully Tuesday, if not Monday or Wednesday. I mean,
another issue though, come action season, it's going to throw
Wednesday night games.
Going to throw everything off. We're going to have to do a doubleheader on Monday and get them out for the people,
or
just a mega show.
We could do three shows a week.
Three shows a week. Keith.
Oh, hey, don't tempt me, Frodo. I can go all day.
It's given what
the people want it. We will.
Oh, the people want it.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Yes. All 46 of our followers really want this.
Don't kid yourself, Keith. We're not up to 46 yet.
Bill, just they don't know.
No, our Twitter is very public. They know. Our listener numbers are better than our Twitter followers.
Yes.
So don't know what that means.
Follow us on Twitter.
At @PTO_podcast.
Ooh, got it that time. Nice.
Nailed it.
All right. So thank you for the programming note.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening.
How did your teams do this week?
My team is 2-0, won again.
Oh,
sick brag.
Two of my receivers combined for 7 touchdowns.
yeah.
See, JoJo Ward had 4 and Talon Wallace had 3.
Yeah, we had the Hawaii
Oklahoma State. Yeah.
Whoa, wide receiver.
He has 5 touchdowns in 2 games right now.
Right.
Talon Wallace does?
Yeah.
Man, and I remember specifically you said last week that you were hoping that Oregon State would double cover Cedric Byrd, and all those targets would go to JoJo Ward, and that's exactly what happened.
It worked out well for me.
It worked out beautifully.
Now it's gonna it's either gonna do this course, so it's gonna flip flop back and forth all year, or defenses are just gonna have to start like switching on and off because they both have that power, and Cole McDonald has that arm.
They got Washington this week, though. So
for the future New York Six Hawaii team.
New Year's Six, Keith.
That's what I said.
I dropped
New York Six.
250
I did
this
not
week.
Say New York Six again. I know what I said.
And I'm currently in first place.
Well, if patterns mean anything to you, then that means I should just go pick up either Jared Smart or Jason Matthew Sharsh for Hawaii. Because
Sharsh.
Sharsh, Cedric Bird, and JoJo Ward will both be double covered. Therefore, the next...
They're double covered two receivers.
you ever heard of the dime package, Josh?
I've heard of it.
Five defensive backs. So that means there's a mismatch somewhere, which means I'm going to pick up... no, I'm actually not going to do that. But I'm glad it worked out for you.
It did. It did. So anyway, 2-0 on to week three for me.
I can't believe it's already week three.
It's already week three. It's going by fast. And that's the thing that sucks about college football every year. We get so excited for it.
Yep.
And then before you know it, it's conference championships. It's bowl games. And season's over after that. So,
yeah, it's not bad.
Everyone you love will die. Eat Arby's.
my team did pretty good. I was happy with my defensive pickup because, as expected, the CMU Chippewas
were overmatched,
royally handed it to them, which good for my team, bad for my alma mater.
And also bad for whoever has to play Jonathan Taylor, because he's caught two more touchdown passes, which it's not fair.
I'm hoping I catch him on Wisconsin's bye week.
Yeah.
Which is this week. So unless you play Jimmy this week.
We have a couple bye weeks.
That is true. If you catch him, I think keep talking.
I'm checking mine right now. I play Jimmy next week. Shit.
So both my quarterbacks actually improved, and so did Eno Benjamin, which is really exciting to see. So Holt Naylor's had a bounce back game. Also, my pickup of Jamie Newman worked out for me very well.
Shout out Wake Forest. Let's
can't
go.
Believe Wake such Forest. A diehard Wake Forest fan would drop Jamie Newman.
I just picked somebody up from Wake Forest. By the way, make sure you guys get out to Wake Forest this Friday. It's a blackout. We're going up against North Carolina, Bull 2-0. Let's go Demon Deeks, baby. Friday night, get out there.
Oh, no.
It's like you're on the student radio station.
Yeah, really.
Or something. I love it.
But yeah, my running backs did well. My receiving core is still a little touch and go, but I'm pretty happy. Bill, what about you?
Not a great week. I was one of the lowest scoring teams. In hindsight, starting Nathan Rourke against Pitt's defense was a bad idea because he completed 15 passes and got sacked a bunch of times for a total negative rushing yard. So he only got 4.75 points on the day. Mason Fine didn't do a whole lot better against who they play. SMU's defense.
Mm-hmm.
I did not think SMU would hold him down to only one touchdown and one pick, but it is what it is. My receivers did a lot better. DeMonte Cox, he had a great week. Brian Edwards had a couple touchdown passes, but they play Alabama this week, so he's finding his way to the bench, which means I'm going to have to go to the waiver wire, which we'll talk in the preview show next week.
That's right.
I also was very, very happy. I dropped LSU's defense, which was a great move because they got zero against Texas, and I picked up Florida's defense, who pitched a shutout. Neat. So Florida was my highest scoring player of the week with 33 points. Next closest was my recent pickup, Omar Bayless for Arkansas State, who pulled in another touchdown catch and 150 yards receiving. So,
yeah.
I only had two players not scoring double digits.
Yeah.
And one of those was a kicker.
It's funny because when you said only 30 points, I – with our scoring system,
that's
not going to be a great week.
I know. That's the bad thing. When you see defenses routinely putting up 45 and 50 points,
mm-hmm.
33 is not great, but – you know, it's also even worse that they're my best player.
Are we ready to officially say that one of these teams is does not have a chance in the league? Is there any team that you're looking at that you
let me look at the standings real quick?
Because we got two. We got surprise. Bree is 0-2 right now.
Somehow she's just running a buzzsaw the past 2 weeks, which just tough.
I'm not going to count her out.
Well,
her team is too good. She's got
Let's go over the standings real quick. So, Josh, Arenson, Josh, you are 2-0 with 420 points for. Trying my best.
Which UConn Feeve?
UConn Feeve is 2-0.
Oh, I don't know anything about college football.
With only 2 points behind Josh, if that gives you a clue. Gumby is third.
You're looking at wins and loss totals. Based on total fantasy points, Dylan has the lead with 446.
Right.
And Sparty Matt's down there with 444.
Yep.
Right. And then Josh and Thief.
Right. So Gumby's third, 2-0, 342 points for. Chubb Hub is next. 1-1.
I love that Keith just giggles every time.
Literally get me every time. He has scored the most, but has also been scored on the third most. So trouble with the snap is 1-1, which is
Sparty Matt.
Sparty Matt. Oh, and I forgot he changed his name. That's lame.
All entirely because of Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. I am sitting sixth with 1-1, 368 points for Husky Homer is 1-1, which is Evan, I believe.
I got him this week.
Yep, got him this week. He has 341 points for.
Also, condolences to Evan and myself, new Husky fan as of this year.
Yeah,
Washington.
It's tough for you guys.
Shot themselves in the foot against Cal over the weekend. Granted, they had to play double weather.
Quarterback you.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Bill, you are sitting at 8th at 1-1 with only 335 points for.
That is third to worst in the league.
Mm-hmm. Mountaineer Ross with Fighting Neil Browns are 1-1 with 321 points for.
That is worst in the league.
John is 0-2.
Which is also tough because he's got two really high scoring games.
Right. 362 points for. Bree is 0-2 at 11th. And Jawanda bringing up the rear. 0-2 with only 327 points.
Where's Jimmy?
4.
And Jonathan Taylor probably accounted for a third of those.
Yes. I mean,
I'm going to actually find out. You guys keep going. I'm going to find out how much Jonathan Taylor's accounted for.
78 points.
Okay.
So a quarter almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roughly. That's a lot of math.
A quarter of points.
24% rounded up. So yeah, a quarter.
I mean, nice. So between him and Justin Herbert is pretty much the only. Pretty much the only people keeping him afloat in this league.
You know why?
Why?
Who's starting in his flex? Jake Fromm.
That's not why.
It's why.
It's not why.
It's because
though.
Jake Fromm has 24 fantasy points
through
2 weeks.
You know why?
Because
he has.
Who they play this week?
He has Hunter Johnson.
McNeese State this week?
They play Arkansas State this week.
Who they play
Murray State last week.
By the way, he still has Hunter Johnson on his bench with negative 2.7 points on the year.
Also has Tate Martell on his bench.
Who has scored 0 points all
Jimmy,
year.
Jimmy, what are you doing, man?
Hey.
The White Sox are out of the playoffs, man. It's time to focus on college football. It's always time to focus on college football, let's be honest.
Focus on college football, yes.
Except for March Madness. I'll grant a pass for that.
Right. Okay. So.
Yeah, not a great week for me.
Okay.
But we'll talk in the preview show. I made some moves.
Yeah, you did.
Staying competitive.
So, notable injuries for this week for quarterbacks. Again, shout out to CFF Champs. Go to cffchamps.com.
For the most comprehensive.
Yes. Literally, again,
roster data in the game.
I just started following them this
yeah.
past week after you guys talked about them. They've been great.
Yeah.
So,
another, I don't know where these pages were printed from. I'm not quite sure, but I picked them up somewhere. Another 14 pages of excellent fantasy information. So thank you guys again. Notable injuries.
Keith's going to acquire the equivalent of War and Peace by the end of the season.
I know. It's going to be really bad. I'm going to have two secret folders.
You have to send Dunder Mifflin an emergency request.
Yeah. Jake Bentley is out for the season.
Yeah. Talinsky time. And also, as a Bryan Edwards fantasy starter, curious how that's going to affect their offense moving forward. Will they run the ball more, trusting a new quarterback? Who knows? We'll see.
Wiley Green from Rice left with a head injury last game.
That was an ugly hit.
Yes,
and
it was.
Tommy Stevens from Mississippi State left last game as well. Undisclosed injuries so far.
Which means balls.
Which means the balls. running backs. Cade Carney from Wake missed last game. Patrick Taylor Jr.
Didn't affect their offense.
Patrick Taylor Jr.
Also
from Memphis.
Rice.
Yeah,
missed last
true.
Game. Isaiah Bowser
didn't affect my team.
got hurt in week one. Trinsky Mosley, he has a knee injury. And Robert Mahone from Boise has a shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm. So if you have Trey Harbison, or not, Van Buren, that's his name.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the hand code.
Which, you know what? I'm playing Evan, who has Van Buren this week. So great.
from the wide receiver position, two questionables, one out. Seth Williams from Auburn is questionable for next game.
Well, I mean, who's Auburn's next game?
You're going to have to look for me.
I'll check. Keep going.
Okay. Chase Claypool from Notre Dame is also questionable. But
Oh, Faith.
Oh, gone. Obialo is out for Marshall.
Auburn plays Kent State this week, so that injury will be, really be felt.
Well, it'll be a nice, he'll get some nice rehab in. And then
just in time to visit Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for fantasy relevant players.
Thank you, A&M. Sorry.
As far as injuries go,
boom.
Do you guys want to talk about top performers for the week?
Yes, please.
Okay.
We know it wasn't anybody on Perm Edwards.
Right. So luckily, you will not be mentioned here very much. Top performers, top five for quarterbacks was Elijah Sindelar from Purdue, who's still only owned in 44% of leagues.
No, Sam Ellinger. John picked him up because we talked about it on Saturday. John was bragging how he picked up Elijah Sindelar.
Yep. Sam Ellinger from Texas had 57 points.
Whew.
Plitt from Ball State had 57.4 points.
Obviously.
And Dan Ellington from Georgia State had 56.7.
I saw that on the waiver wire, and I was like, I confused Georgia State and Georgia Southern for a second. And I was like, holy crap, Georgia Southern really didn't miss a beat with this guy. And then I realized, oh, it's Georgia State. And I was felt stupid.
I mean, in all fairness, they played Furman.
Yeah. But he also did well against Tennessee.
I know. He's only owned in 11% of leagues, if you're looking for a QB.
Why'd you look at me, Keith?
No reason. Other notables, I mean, Cole McDonald obviously had 45 points. Justin Herbert had 45. Adrian Martinez had a nice bounce-back game.
Back on track.
42.1.
Monty Ross.
Much needed.
Let's see. And that's pretty much it for notables. Jalen Hurts only had 35 points. So, I mean.
Did he even play the third and fourth quarter?
He really should be in this next category, the most disappointing ones. So, just a quick run through Armani Rogers, Nathan Rourke, Jacob Eason, which I picked up.
Nathan Rourke. Hey!
Only 4.6 points. Mason Fine had only 8 points. Shea Patterson had 8.6. He was also sacked 4 times.
Well, maybe. Okay, we won't get into that.
we're not out of Michigan. Okay, sir, Bill.
Nope.
Kellen Mond also had a pretty disappointing game at 15.9.
To be fair, though.
Clemson's defense.
Yeah.
Clemson's defense hit 1 INT, 5 rushing attempts, sacked twice.
And their running back got hurt, so.
Right.
It's a one-dimensional offense. It's, yeah, right. Beating Clemson's hard enough as it is. Then you take your running back out of the game.
Also interesting to note, and I want to get your guys' opinion on this. De'Aaron King only had 22 points. Is
time to worry there, Gumby?
I was going to say, do you guys consider that, is he in trouble now, especially for where you had to draft him to get him? Is he starting that disappointing slide? I mean, 22 points is still manageable. But it's not what you should be at.
Right. I think a lot of this can be chalked up to the change in offensive scheme under Holgorsen.
Mm-hmm.
When Major Applewhite was there, it was literally kind of an air raid junior. And now mm-hmm. Holgorsen's obviously doing a much more balanced offense. So if he's only putting up 22 points against, they play like Prairie View
A&M.
37-17.
It's not great.
I mean, this could also be a product of his offensive line. He was sacked 4 times.
Should we get Gumby on the phone and ask him how he likes Deer King? We can call him right now.
No, he's probably working.
I don't think it's too early to panic quite yet, especially for Sinan in Gumby's position. He's 1-1 right now. They play Washington State this week. Probably won't be a single punt in that game. So we'll see.
Well, I mean, can you really say that, though? They played Prairie View A&M. I mean.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, it happens all the time. Teams look ahead to other games and they just don't play up to the way that they should, and it's very possible that they were looking to Washington State and just kind of coasted.
I bet there's a little bit of that. A little bit to the tune of 1 interception, 4 sacks, negative 1 yards. Okay. Let's move on to running backs. So, Bill, probably won't mention you here again, but...
Well, you won't. My running backs were very middle of the road this week, so
yes.
Probably won't hear anybody. Yeah.
Top 5, Cam Akers, Florida State, 47.8. Darrington Evans.
Well, I guess we'll talk actual games of the week, so never mind.
Right. Darrington Evans from Appalachian State, 42.4. Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, 38 8.9.
Oh, wow. What a shock.
Tron Mittner from Southern Alabama, I believe.
USA. USA.
38.2 points, only 27% of leagues. And Benny LeMay had 36.2.
Don't you have him?
Yeah.
So casual about it.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, everyone else, surprising one was Zach Charbonnet from Michigan. I know we're not a Michigan podcast. Only in 30% of leagues, but still got 30.6 points.
Well, that was because
three touchdowns.
Right.
Three touchdowns.
The yards per carry were absolute butt.
Right. 33 rushing attempts for 100. Just get 100 yards.
Yeah.
It's not where you want.
He was also the only one who could hold on to the football against Army.
Yep.
So. But hey, if he keeps scoring three touchdowns a game, by all means. But he's on a bye this week, so don't pick him up this week.
Right. So, again, I'll have another question for you guys. After some of these disappointing ones. So biggest disappointments were Ricky Slade from Penn State, only 0.8 points.
Oof.
Michael Warren, the second from Cincinnati, had 1.5.
Yeah.
That's what played Ohio State. And they were down like from the coin toss. So you're not gonna run the ball.
Jordan Conkright, Southern Florida.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks for me on my bench.
That's 1.7 points. 12 attempts for 17 yards.
And that's against Georgia Tech. Against Wisconsin is one thing, but against Georgia Tech.
Which brings us to our next one. Jonathan Ward from Central Michigan had 2.2 points.
Oof.
But he had a single rushing attempt and one reception.
It's a good day at the office.
So, I mean, to get that against Wisconsin, I guess, hey, nice
more
job.
Power to you.
Levante Bellamy, surprisingly, 8.7 points.
We played Michigan State, Steve. That's
right. 15 attempts for 44 total yards.
It's actually okay. 3 yards a carry against State's D line, not bad.
Yeah.
Especially when State wears those lime green.
Want to know when the lime green?
Never
change.
Chuba Hubbard had 10.4 points, one touchdown, but only 44 yards. Trey Sermon from Oklahoma only had 11.6. Juwan Washington only had 11.5. Puka Williams pooped in his big boy pants at 12.9. He had 99 yards, but no scores, like 109 total yards. Kennedy Brooks from Oklahoma had 12.9, and Travis Etienne, 14.5.
Yikes.
That's
Clemson was just very,
very,
I don't know if it was it wasn't blah. It was just like, let's get this win, get out of here relatively unscathed. I think it was just very.
How do you not call that? I mean, you're defending national champs. It's supposed to be exciting.
Not really. They beat a very good team by two touchdowns. Well, it was three touchdowns in Texas A&M.
They covered.
Got it back. Yeah, garbage time backdoor cover. So, I mean, I don't think the score shows how much Clemson really beat A&M.
Right. I was going to say, Michael Warren, do you think it's time to push the panic button on that? Or
does he still have a nagging knee injury? I remember back from week one when they played UCLA, he went down pretty hard.
He went down hard, and I mean, he only had 10 rushing attempts, so I'm wondering if they kind of schemed around him. But still, knee injuries, especially with running backs in the college game, is not necessarily a recipe to
– right.
I think I'm not worried. Their next games are Miami, Ohio, Marshall, Central Florida, and Houston. So as long as if his knee is okay, I'm not worried about him yet.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, he's not really listed in any notable injuries, so he might be just shaking it off. But
also got a bye week after Miami, Ohio. So
okay.
This will pretty much be
a
live walkthrough and then a bye week.
So essentially – Miami Ohio game is your litmus test of like, okay, is he for real or is this gonna be another disappointing season?
Yeah. I also it'll be interesting to see how Cincinnati schemes against not a great defense. I know UCLA is not good, but it was week one, obviously power five. Atmosphere is gonna be hyped up. And
right.
Then week two you go to Ohio State. Sorry, you're not gonna beat Ohio State. And then so you got Miami Ohio, who like I said is kind of just a live walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how Cincinnati schemes around 11 cardboard cutouts.
All right.
Shout out Kelsey, text me. I'm a doodle bird again.
So tight ends don't matter, so I'm not going to go over that.
Hey, Brevin Jordan did well again.
There you go.
The one draft pick that I did well.
So wide receivers, obviously JoJo Ward had 52.9 points. Justin Jefferson from LSU had 43.3.
Mm-hmm. I think everyone from LSU had around there.
Yep. Tylan Wallace had 41 points. Rondell Moore bounced back to form at 41 points. Had 220 yards.
It's insane.
For 13 catches.
On 13 catches.
13 catches.
It's a good yak.
It's a great yak. And then Devin DuVernay from Texas had 39.8 points, only owned in 20% of leagues.
Not anymore.
Daryl Stewart Jr. from MSU had 35.4, only owned in 1% of leagues because we know that passing attack. I would recommend to keep him at that same level when they get into actual conference play.
Right. Not playing Western Michigan every week.
Yes. Speaking you will not be getting 185 yards every week.
Their over-under with Arizona State is at 41.5 right now.
Oh my gosh. That's lower than like half the NFL over-unders.
So biggest disappointments real quick. Marquez Stevenson, obviously with quarterback play, that translates directly. Adrian Hardy from La Tech. Fuck, why? Just do something more than 6.1 points.
You're the meme of the guy with the stick.
Yeah.
Do something.
Jalen Waddle only had 7.2. Colin Johnson had 7.9. And LaViska Shenault Jr. Surprising stonker of a game for him. 8.7. Five catches for 31 yards.
Well, he's like a wildcat back now.
Which I know.
It doesn't make sense. Like, I give Mel Tucker a lot of credit because they're just they don't care on offense. They're just letting it all hang out. And it worked against Nebraska. But in terms of fantasy, that's not what the Shenault starters signed up for.
No. And then they expected the same production essentially from last year. He was really high. Pretty high draft pick again.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's had to spend a lot of draft capital on, and he's...
I mean, you can tell he's extremely talented. His hands are so good.
Yes. Very good receiver. Not being used correctly. And that really frustrates me because he only had 3 rushing attempts for 6 yards.
Do you have him?
LaViska Shenault?
Yeah.
I believe
it. Let me take a peek real quick who's got him. Colorado does play Air Force this week, so it could be another example of getting your guy back on track.
Yeah, let me just check real quick. I dropped him.
John has LaViska Shenault.
Yeah. So he was somebody I was really high on because just his talent level. But I actually don't even think I drafted him, to be honest with you. But yeah,
John had two of the disappointments of the week that you mentioned.
No. And now
he's also got Elijah Sindelar and Tua, so not exactly feeling the hurt right now.
Not exactly. But let's go ahead and take a quick break. Then we'll come back with some recaps. And anything else, Bill?
Yeah, we'll talk some lines.
Oh, lines.
How Josh and I did over the week.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Bird Talk Ons.
I thought you were just going to stop after saying welcome back.
No, I debated. I'm not
we were wondering where you're going with
I'm
that.
Not the big intro guy.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Not really the intro guy. We're going to start off with, before we do a recap here, Bill's going to do his favorite segment, his tweets of the week.
Yeah. I love just Saturdays when I don't leave the couch for 13 hours. Although I do have something kind of embarrassing to admit. I couldn't stay up for... Not quite. I couldn't stay up for Cal versus Washington on Saturday. The rain delays just got too late for me. The game finally ended at like 4 in the morning Eastern Standard Time. A couple great tweets this week. Nick Rolovich, Hawaii head coach, just tweeted out the Rose Bowl logo. Nothing else.
Nice.
That's it. It's perfect.
Awesome.
Brett McMurphy, Ohio State's favorite beat writer. He had a fun little tidbit here. This is another, Kelsey will love this one. Tampa and Miami area NFL and college teams are off to a combined 0-10 start. Obviously, the Bucs and Dolphins aren't looking great in the NFL. And then South Florida, Miami, FIU, and FAU have all yet to win a game. And I bet FIU to cover again, and they did not. So I think I'm done doing FIU. Yeah, I'm done with FIU. And then here's a nice little would you rather. This is comes from Andrew Percival, Twitter handle pdog206. Keith, I think he should be the gold standard of what you strive to do with Excel when it comes to college football data, because holy crap, this guy knows his stuff. So this is a fun poll. I love good Twitter poll.
Okay.
If you were only allowed to watch as many college football games as you like, but none involved your favorite team, or only games involving your favorite team but no others, what would you do? I picked only games with any games not involving my team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's my pick.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to frustrate the hell out of you and you only get to watch them once.
Yeah. Because that's it. Because then that essentially blows your Saturday, right? Like,
yeah.
No, I get to watch this single game. Like, if I'm at the game, totally different.
Right.
But if I'm just sitting there and I have the whole slate to watch, I'd rather watch the whole slate.
Because for 3.5 hours, I was pulling my hair out, Michigan against Army, and there are so many more entertaining games to watch. Not just a matter of, like, close games. It was good football being played, too.
Yeah.
Not a matter of the team fumbling for 3 times and running the same play 8 times in a row. But and that not Army running the same play 8 times in a row.
Yeah.
Michigan did. The triple option team had a better yards per carry than Michigan did. Well, but we're not a Michigan podcast.
Shouldn't that happen anyway?
No, because Army gets 3 yards per carry and that's it. That's it.
I mean, theoretically, the triple option team should always have a better yards per carry than this hybrid pro style, because you're going to be – No.
You want at least 4 to 5 yards a carry if you're not a triple option team.
Okay.
In terms of success rate, SP pluses
– like prime, S and P plus.
SP pluses primary metric
SP plus
success rate, you want at least 5 yards.
Okay.
And then last tweet of the week – Tweet of the wheat. We're talking exclusively.
Tweet of the wheat.
We're talking cereal podcasts now. So okay. Mini wheats. Just kidding.
They're the home of Kellogg's and General.
That's true. Tweet of the week. Apparently, Texas didn't give LSU air conditioning, which is a nice segue into our recap of the games.
Do you want to start with that one? Because we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Go for it.
Like literally game of the week.
It was a great game. Especially the fact that Texas is not back, as I've said.
Nor are they DBU.
Because
if Joe Burrow throws 400 yards on you, you do not deserve to be tagged as DBU.
But.
Mm-hmm. Neither does LSU.
LSU did cover.
And that was.
Which was one of my best. That was Keith's pick, actually.
I locked you in.
And they covered, so.
That game was just insane.
Trust me, son.
Yeah. Like, I know I've joked about Wisconsin learning the forward pass, but LSU has, like, low-key perfected the forward pass. Like, Texas is no slouch.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow just, like, was putting the ball wherever he wanted to. There was one drive before halftime. LSU went 60 yards in 3 plays. LSU does not do that. LSU hasn't done that in, like, 50 years.
Yeah.
Pretty much since Jamarcus Russell was there.
Pretty much since the inception of their program, they don't do that.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
And now Joe Burrow is, like, literally one of the Heisman Watch contenders now.
Yeah.
So they might score a touchdown against Alabama.
LSU quarterback.
Never would have thought. But that game was easily one of the games of the week for me. And this includes a week that had like a bunch of overtime games too.
I know. Crazy amount of overtimes.
Minnesota, Fresno State. Fresno State only lost by 3. ULM, Florida State. Go for 2. What are you doing?
Like that's got to go for 2.
Go for 2.
Go for 2.
Oh my gosh!
What a terrible way to lose a game.
I felt
a team that busted their ass
was well conditioned against Florida State.
Which is we all know.
But
really
they're from Louisiana. They had to deal with those hot summers, unlike Florida State.
That's
so
true.
Shout out to them for doing that. But you just we feel bad for a kicker in that situation. Like I get it. It's his job. It's an extra point, but same time.
You know what? I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on here.
Uh-oh.
I think this is his civilly disobedient way of saying, go for 2. If you have a chance to win the game and walk off against Florida State, you go for the chance to win the game.
Right.
Anyway, that game was – also, get YouTube TV so you can watch it on ACC Network. Quit complaining. Just get it. Just get YouTube TV.
Is it too late to say, is Florida just not an elite program that teams don't even consider them an upset anymore? It's just like, hey, we'll just kick a field goal. What did I say?
Florida.
Yeah, Florida State.
Well,
they're just like, it's just Florida State.
Probably. Which is a sad assessment of where the Florida State program is. Does Wake Forest play Florida State this year?
Yeah, I'm sure we do.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll check our schedule real quick, but yeah.
Okay. And then other two great overtime games, Nebraska-Colorado. We touched a little bit on it with the LaVisca-Chenault segment. Tale of two halves, man. Like, Nebraska went into halftime, I think, up 17-0. And then I was like, okay, this game's pretty much over. And so I started watching Louisiana Monroe and Florida State. And then I checked back in. And Colorado goes down and runs a flea flicker from their own end zone to tie the game up. A 96-yard passing play from Mel Tucker.
These two teams need to play every year. I know they used to in the Big 12, but they need to get back. It's got to be like a Michigan-Notre Dame thing or a Notre Dame-USC, whatever. These two teams got to play each
Absolutely.
Other.
Is that a record, 96?
Probably for Colorado.
I don't know. Here, I'll
for longest NCAA spamming. Passing yard.
Yes, let me passing play.
I'm sure someone threw a 99-yard touchdown.
I would be willing to bet there's a 99-yarder somewhere.
I think you might be surprised.
Touching back on what Josh said, it was in Boulder, but like half of the fans were Nebraska fans, and they wore T-shirts with a buffalo upside down on them. So I think the NCAA needs to step in and really figure out this slander against Colorado, because
can't do that.
You can't do that.
Buffalo down.
You can't buffalo down. But yes, I'm with you. They need to play every year. God bless the Big Eight. Bring it back.
I just found the answer out. Do you guys want to guess the team and the opponent?
Was it 99 yards?
It was 99 yards. Yes.
Can we get like an era?
I need a year.
An era?
Just an era.
1977 was the year.
Oh,
jeez. Was it Colorado against Nebraska?
No, that'd be awesome.
That'd be a hell of a coincidence. Who was good in 77? Oklahoma? Penn State?
Not Oklahoma.
Nope. Florida State. I don't know.
Close.
Florida.
Yep. Derek Gaffney of Florida caught a 99-yard touchdown pass from Chris Collinsworth against
Chris
Rice.
Chris Collinsworth.
All right. That's the record.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Look at him. And now he's sliding in on Sunday Night Football.
There you go. Hey.
Now you learn something. Play. And then final game of the week for me was BYU-Tennessee. Because not only is Tennessee crashing and burning a bright Knoxville orange flame, they had that game won dead to rights. And BYU had a 50-something yard pass play with like 10 seconds to go and won in overtime. It was insane.
In that situation, there's literally one thing you can't do.
Don't let the wide receiver
get behind you.
And that's exactly what they did.
That's the only thing.
And then Jeremy Pruitt made his team, he made the simile in his post-game press conference that Tennessee is like the Titanic. Uh-oh. Things are going great in Knoxville.
Oh, wow. Bill, there's something that might be kind of fun I just thought of.
Yeah.
I would like for you to go ahead and go through your watchability and the not-miss games.
Yep.
Pick two not-miss games that you would place in the – I mean, it's still football category. And pick two of the – it's still football categories to place in the must-watch games.
After the game actually happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's based – you're doing this based on the knowledge you've had so far. But so now you're more knowledgeable. Which two games would you flip-flop from the opposite ends?
I like this. Do not miss this game. Cincinnati, Ohio State. was not close. Stick that in the – I mean, it's still football. I was hoping Cincinnati would at least score.
Yes.
West Virginia, Missouri. Probably
– that game's
– yeah, that was not close. West Virginia.
They got shut out.
I thought they scored a garbage time touchdown.
Did they? I don't know. It was on during the Michigan game, so
either way,
I was more invested.
I'd send them into the I mean it's still football. I thought it was going to be good because they're
it's slated to be good.
They were similar offenses,
mm-hmm.
both coming off of very bad week ones.
Yeah.
And they West Virginia had a very bad week too.
They scored a garbage touchdown, you're right.
Okay. Which tangentially I want to bring up my bet with Mountaineer Ross is looking a little bit better.
I don't
think West Virginia is going to win the national title this year, so the spot on my back is lives to see another day. Until we make the same bet next year. Okay, so the two I mean it's still football games to bring up. Illinois-UConn. That game was actually pretty good for three quarters.
For three quarters?
Right. So, I'd swing it up into the don't miss this game.
Okay.
New Mexico State, Alabama sucked. Bowling Green, Kansas State sucked.
Don't blame Nick Saban for that, though.
Because no one wants to play Alabama.
Yeah.
And now he has to play at noon, and he is mad.
Poor guys.
For real. It just, can you imagine?
Really chaps his ass.
Really, really tough.
My gosh.
To play at noon.
Oh, God, grinds his gears.
Alabama just...
I really
can't.
Like,
when are they going to catch a break?
I really feel bad for them.
Let's be honest.
The players at Alabama, they, like you said, they deserve a break. They never get one, and they deserve one.
Yeah.
So, Alabama, we're here for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I am a longtime Clemson Tiger fan. And as by long time, I mean like 8 months. So, or whenever they won the national title in an empty Levi's Stadium. So, the second, I mean, it's still football that ended up in the don't miss this game category, Coastal Carolina versus Kansas. Because Kansas couldn't get out of their own way, and the Chanticleers escape Mighty Lawrence, Kansas with a victory.
Yeah, my bet. Or my, I didn't bet on that one, thankfully. But
that was just your hot take.
That was my hot take.
Kansas
goes
bowling.
Game. I don't. They needed to win that one.
That take is looking
Coastal Carolina
increasingly cold.
Okay.
In my preseason pick'em, I think I had Kansas. Oh crap! I don't remember where the page is. I think I had Kansas losing that game, if I'm not mistaken. Nope, I had him winning that one and then losing every game the rest of the year. So,
okay.
Not looking great. Less miles in the hot seat?
So, yeah, I think that's something we'll just do on our recap show every week.
See, there's other games I want to talk about. Keep going.
But I just think it's fun because you make these predictions, but then we don't really bring it up again. So
right.
I just figured it'd be nice to talk about. Like, hey, what games were actual stonkers and what games you want to...
Could we talk about USC? Are they good or is Stanford... Maybe a little overrated. Like what's
I don't know.
Okay.
There's so much context that needs to be included in that game. I don't know what to think.
I've always thought ever since Harbaugh left Stanford, to me they've been overrated.
They're West Coast Iowa. They win 8 games a year,
right,
running a very boring offense, but for some reason they're always like find themselves in the top 15.
Right.
I think it's because they always won the Pac-12. And not always won the Pac-12, but they found themselves in a couple conference championship games.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I think they get overinflated just a little bit.
Right.
And they recruit really well.
It's not quite the USC or Texas bump, but it's something where, okay, you had success in the past, so, oh, well, they're just going to be good because they're one
mm-hmm.
of the only good teams in the Pac-12.
Right. They're good for Pac-12 standards.
Yeah, which is a very
which
standard.
Their college football playoff hopes now lay on the shoulders of Utah. Which, no offense to Utah, I think they're a really good team. I don't think they could hold a candle against Alabama.
So when are we going to start considering the Pac-12 out of the Power 5?
Out of the Power 5?
I still think it's too soon for that.
Too soon for that? Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to bring. I just want to float that in the winds.
Larry
Scott
is doing his damnedest, though.
They're doing something. But Some of these other conferences are starting to creep up a bit, and especially if one of these G5 conferences does a super conference where they just combine two and let them.
I would love to see the Mountain West and Pac-12 somehow combine into like a mega conference, because, I mean, we've seen
mm-hmm.
that teams like Boise State, Utah State, Fresno State, they can hold their own.
Right.
They do well against Power 5 opponents. So,
Boise State would compete right now in the Pac-12.
Oh, for sure. I think they would finish third or fourth in the Pac-12 conference.
You know, honestly, and we all know that the college football playoff is going to expand, and we don't know how much is going to expand, but
it's only a matter of time.
That actually might not be a terrible option, is if we just had 4 conferences total.
4 mega conferences?
Yes. So 4, like, we all reshuffle and combine into 4 mega conferences,
mm-hmm.
and then you just work up from there. So similar to your pod system, but conferences and your rivalries are still intact, but you play more regionally up in the supers.
Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? But since TV rules the whole world, it's never going to happen.
Come on, with 4, each one would get their own network.
Right, but
of course it makes logical sense to us.
CBS and
YouTube.
Oh, no, sorry, Facebook. But Facebook's really rocking up in the TV standards.
They did have Hawaii on Saturday. By the time the college football playoff expands, I would not be surprised if YouTube had their own complete network. Just saying.
Mm.
That would be
the Coastal Carolina.
It's kind of, that's why it's trending.
Oh, man.
Another team I wanted to talk about, if we're done with that.
Well, I had one more point off.
Sorry.
The four mega conferences. It makes a lot of sense. And like you said, you could easily work out. So Notre Dame is still on NBC, and then everyone else is fighting for their own.
Right.
But I think you would have a lot of teams that would be elbowing each other out of the way to get primetime coverage, and then you get a lot of overlap, and then people fall between the cracks. And then you're kind of left back to where it started. So in the 3:30 slot on the, you know, ESPN has the, whatever you want to call it. Or let's say Fox has the Pac-12 Mountain West Super Conference. Mm-hmm. But Pac-12 always plays late. So who's going to get the best slot? Washington, USC, Stanford.
Well, that's why you
I have an idea. Start times. I have an idea.
Man. 9 a.m., Keith? We've been over this.
That was my idea.
Sorry. But do you see what I'm saying, though?
Yes.
Like changing the start times is one thing, but like it's only going to offer so many solutions.
But they should be doing that anyway.
Then get more networks.
Josh,
more networks,
no.
Buy in.
You're never going to get
no,
more.
You're never getting more.
Do
networks.
It.
No. You need to stagger the start times anyway.
Maybe that's what we should do with our money from Anchor. Shout out Anchor. Start our own network.
Yeah, there you go.
Who can we get? We can probably get Kansas.
The Anchor Network. There you go, Anchor.
Hey, you know
we should get Vanderbilt. Anchor down.
Vanderbilt, Kansas, and Tennessee.
And Navy. Midshipman.
Get all.
Yes. No, Keith, I see what you're saying, but I think we need to stick with nautical theme mascots here. Okay. I think we're on a
side. I like the
Grand Valley.
Yeah. Lakers, it could work. Yeah. It could work.
I'm happy with it.
Yeah. Are there any other?
I'm sure there are.
Seattle Mariners. We can go do an MLB package.
We're forgetting Tulane.
The Miami Dolphins.
The Green Wave. There you go.
My God.
Yeah.
I would love to have Tulane. I'll move to New Orleans and cover their games.
Oh, there was also a hilarious clip of
Tulane.
I don't know if it's Billy Napier or Willie Fritz. I always get the two mixed up. Willie Fritz. There was a hilarious clip. He was talking to one of his coordinators through his headset, but he was like turning his head to the right and just like really angry. And in the background was the Tulane mascot. Or a graphic of the Tulane mascot. So it looked like he was having an angry conversation with a little green wave. It was so funny.
Be sure to find that and post it on Twitter later.
I will. But it looked like Willie Fritz was having a little bit of a mental breakdown just talking to nobody. But the green wave was just like, why, yeah, you ought to.
Well, the Miami Hurricanes technically, because hurricanes technically form over top of water.
What do you mean so, technically?
Well, but they also make landfall. So,
but then
right, they form over water.
Yeah,
they don't technically form over water. They form
over water, but they make landfall. So they're a little both. But
ECU Pirates.
There you go.
I think we're onto something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Josh, you brought up another point.
Oh, I was going to say Maryland.
Maryland apparently is the best offense in the country.
I don't hate it, to be quite honest with you.
I'm not either. Until they play Michigan.
63 points. How many did they drop last week? 79?
Yeah.
72?
Yeah. 79 points.
They found something that works. And
Because they have a quarterback who has not been broken in half yet. Good for them.
Surprisingly, yes.
Listen to their schedule, though. At Temple. Then
They'll probably put up another 50 points.
They play at home to Penn State, which is, it'll be tough. But then they go at Rutgers, at Purdue, home to Indiana, at Minnesota. Scroll down, and then they got Michigan, Ohio State, Nebraska, Michigan State. So they have.
They got to save some of their points for those last 4 weeks.
Yeah. Pretty favorable start to their season until they get into those last four games.
That last 4 weeks is insane.
That if there was any gauntlet, that is it.
If there's such a thing as college football whiplash, it's going to be that.
Yeah.
Because they're going to put up 55 points a game and then just stop on a dime.
Yep.
Wow. But for now, hey, good for them. I must admit, I did not think Mike Locksley would do this well through 2 weeks at Maryland.
No, I don't think anybody did.
But to supply some context, it's been 2 weeks at Maryland.
An exciting 2 weeks.
A very exciting 2 weeks.
And congrats, Under Armour.
Yeah, you finally have a team that's doing something. Them and their weird helmets that change every week.
I don't mind it. I don't hate it.
I mean, they're just East Coast wannabe Oregon.
What do you mean wannabe Oregon?
Because Oregon changes uniforms every week and is really fancy about it, and Maryland always tries their best. Some designs fall flat.
Okay.
We'll say that.
Okay.
But their throwbacks that we talked about in previous episodes look great.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. All right.
Going back to USC, Lynn Swann stepped down, and they're seeking a new athletic director.
And why are you interested in the position?
Funny you should mention, USC's president literally said, you can email me your resume. So I think I might throw
do
my
it.
Hat.
Why not?
Might throw my hat in the ring.
I actually know one of the guys that works for their football
That's right,
office.
Do.
So
can we get him on the show?
I don't know, maybe. I'll reach out to him, see if he wants to.
Be kind of fun, actually.
Yeah. Well, Bill, if you're going to put your hat in the ring, I'm going to throw my resume in there.
Well, your resume is a lot better than mine, Keith. So
that's not that much better, Bill.
We both have preferred talk ends on our resume.
That's
so
true. Number one.
That would be great for the show if one of you guys got the job. He's a director of football operations at USC. And he's like my age, so cool. Good job.
The hell you've been doing for life.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. What actually have you been doing with your life?
I don't know.
Okay.
Too much time living in LA.
That's why Wayne needs to get a job out there.
Just a wayward division.
Take the 405.
Take the 405 to the
Christ have mercy.
All right, let's talk a little bit of our bet.
Yes.
How did you do this week, Josh?
I was 3 for 4, but one was a push, so we're gonna say 4 for 5 on that one. I really thought Cincinnati would score a point or two. I know Ohio State was gonna score a lot. The over under was only like 53, so I figured Cincinnati will score a couple touchdowns. They fumbled in the end zone once, which didn't help. They threw a pick or an interception inside the red zone, which didn't help, but they didn't cover. Tennessee, they were my push.
No, Auburn was the push.
Auburn was the push. Yeah.
BYU, Tennessee
covered.
They had to go to overtime.
Thankfully, but it worked out for me. Texas A&M's garbage touchdown covered for them. And then what was my other over-under? Keith Lock, LSU. Beating Texas by 6.5.
I got you.
Which they covered on that one. So right. It was a good day. Didn't lose money. We'll do it again next week.
Were you a little nervous down the stretch there?
Yeah, I was.
Especially the LSU-Texas game was so back and forth.
It wasn't until they threw that final touchdown pass where it's just like, all right, even if they score a touchdown here, well, they're not going to go for two.
Right.
That'd be stupid. So I knew I was probably safe. So that was good. And yeah, looking at some spreads for next week. I'll talk about it in the next show for my locks. But yeah, overall, good week. Weekend for me.
I had a good week too. I did. I got 61% success rate. Take that.
Okay.
5 out of 6 on my locks, which I know if they're called locks, you should get them right. But either way, I took Arkansas State as a 2.5-point dog against UNLV. Don't even know why they were a dog in the first place. They took it to UNLV. UCF was a 10-point favorite, took them in a heartbeat. Kentucky is a 14.5-point favorite, and they crushed Eastern Michigan. My over-under locks, I took UAB and Akron to hit over 48.5. Syracuse and Maryland to hit over 56.5. Maryland did that by themselves. And I took Washington and Cal to hit over 43. I figured that 43 number was low enough that they would just fall into it, but there was enough rain that it didn't matter. Thanks a lot, Seattle.
4 points away.
Pacific Northwest bums.
What'd you expect?
I expected
it's the only place in the world that gets less sunshine than us.
That's actually meteorologically. That's a
Whoa.
You try saying that one. See?
Oh.
Bill, I'm dyslexic.
Got him. Doesn't mean you can't talk.
Clearly it does.
Not gonna try.
We have plenty of examples where that happens.
It's statistically accurate that
yes.
Seattle gets less sunshine than us.
Yes.
Love it.
But you want to know the sad part? It's
they
like,
have Microsoft.
No.
And Starbucks.
It's like 8 days.
8 days, what? That's
they get 8 less days of
oof.
Sunshine. Yes.
Ouch.
It's the fact that like surprises people. And there may be a range, a small range in there, but we're closer than a lot of people think. Just because of the way... I mean, we're two peninsulas, so.
I think that's why Washington is so good at defense, because they can play in any type of weather.
Well, hold on now. It doesn't matter where you're from, because as we know, Florida State, they were not ready for their elements, even though they trained there all offseason, so.
Oh, my gosh. I hope
he gets up a great point.
I hope we get a ton of traction out of this FSU not being conditioned stuff.
Hey. They admitted it. Their air conditioning off.
It's true. They need a bye week more than anybody these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad they don't have any Gatorade.
Well, yeah, because that's for the Florida Gators.
Yeah, I know.
So they're stuck drinking Powerade.
Hey, don't knock Powerade. Okay. What do you have against Powerade?
It's too sugary. Just drink
water. Sugar-free
one. Just drink water, kids. Water's good for your bones.
Just drink the sugar-free one.
How about you just drink water like an adult?
I do drink water.
Gatorade is just big government telling you to drink sugary drinks so they get
Bill,
they get your taxes.
Haven't you ever seen the commercial? The Florida Gators are tired, so a guy created it as an aid to the Gators. Gatorade.
Like actual Gators?
To the Florida Gators, Bill.
Well, they tested it on alligators first.
Maybe that's why Florida State can't handle the elements, because they don't drink Gatorade.
Yeah, that was my joke of the Powerade.
Well, yeah, then I'm on Keith's side. Or no, which one of you didn't want to drink Powerade? Because I'm on that side.
Don't drink Powerade.
I'm on Bill's side then. Sorry, Keith.
Why? Josh also has a bag of Gatorade on his desk. But I didn't know. I went and shook it one day, and I didn't know that he had it open, so I got blue powder all over his desk.
Which
Smurf is about to snort a line of Coke.
Made it look cleaner. Surprising.
It's actually pretty clean right now. I cleaned it last week.
Good for you, Josh.
Yeah.
I did give Josh our
cleanest
desk award.
Hey, you got two claps that time. Nice.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, you guys
I think we've hit on any point.
Yeah.
We're talking about Powerade and big government. And
no. Bill, this stuff's important, too.
It is. It is.
Anything else you guys want to touch on before we let everyone go?
Tennessee's got a big game this week against Chattanooga.
It's a big in-state rivalry, probably.
It is. And then Florida comes to town, so you got to figure something out quick down in Knoxville.
All right, well.
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. Josh, you good?
I'm all set.
All right.
Well, like, rate, subscribe, review. Hit us up on Twitter at @PTO_podcast. Email us at thePTOpodcast@gmail.com. Do you want me to spell it again?
Yes.
thePTOpodcast @A with a circle around it, gmail.com.
There.
Nice.
We go.
Nailed it.
Nice.